stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Thank you, John, for that song. John is wearing his Gideon's pin as well. He's a Gideon, and so thank the Lord for the way he worked that out for us today, and thank you for that song. Sumter Bible Church, Bible in the center of our name. The Bible is God's infallible word, as you heard from that song John sang, and it is not the word of man. And so we hear this morning from the word of God. We've been going through Matthew in our morning services, and today we come to chapter 4 where we see the temptation of Jesus there and some other things as well. We'll pray in just a minute. I'll show you just two parts to my message today. I knew I'd have a little less time, not too much less, because I wanted to give some time to Brother Feeney as well. So we're going to look at Jesus tempted in the wilderness and then teaching in Galilee, and he begins teaching after this temptation. We'll make some applications to that as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time in the scriptures this morning. And Lord, we pray that you would help me to rightly divide the word of truth. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit, who is our guide into truth, that you would lead us and guide us, and that you would speak to each heart, and that you would meet the need of each heart. We thank you that not only do you know us so well, you created us, you know us very well, and you care for us, and you want to meet the needs that we have. And so, Father, I pray that you would use your word today to meet the needs of the people here. If there's any here without Christ, and they've never come to trust you, as we heard these testimonies from Brother Feeney of those who trusted Christ. Lord, the same word of God saves regardless of a person's nationality. We thank you that the word of God gives life. And if there's anyone unsaved, we pray that they would come to trust Christ today. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. As we look at the temptation in the wilderness, first we're going to be looking at Jesus going there. And notice it tells us in verse 1 that he was led up of the Spirit in the wilderness. And we think about this leading of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, they that are the sons of God are led by God. And God leads us along. But God doesn't lead us in all different directions based upon our own opinions. God has His Word, and He uses His Holy Spirit to lead us in the way that He wants us to go. And it tells us that Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted. God had a particular purpose in mind, and God was leading Him to be tempted. Now, God didn't want him to sin, and he doesn't want us to sin, but God had something for him. We know in 1 Corinthians 10:13 it says this, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." And God doesn't tempt us to sin. We know that from the book of James and other passages of Scripture as well. He doesn't tempt us to try to trick us into sin. He will sometimes allow some testings to come into our lives to prove us, but he doesn't try to trip us up. Satan, on the other hand, he'll try to trip us up. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet," and it shows us the path where we are to go. What Satan likes to do is let the light shine in our eyes rather than to our feet, because he likes to try to blind us there. But God's Spirit will lead us in the path that he wants us to go. So we see the Holy Spirit at work in the temptations of Jesus. And whenever you and I go through temptations, God's Holy Spirit is at work. He wants to accomplish something in your life and in my life through the trials and temptations that we have. We see over in Luke's account of this, we see not only is the Holy Spirit leading, but we see in Luke chapter 4, it says, Jesus, there was fullness of the Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God." And these two things go hand in hand. Being led of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit go together. Because if we are not filled with the Spirit, in comparison, that verse says, don't be drunk with wine, don't let that control you, but let the Holy Spirit control you, even as you go through temptations. And Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and whenever he was tempted by Satan, he didn't give in. Aren't you glad to know that being tempted is not a sin? Jesus was tempted. We're very clear in the Scriptures, but he didn't sin. And so you and I may be tempted to sin. The thoughts may come, but that's not sin there until we give in and do that. And so God will make a way of escape, as I said a moment ago. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is something that needs to be done daily as we ask the Lord to fill us with his Holy Spirit and lead us so that whenever we come upon temptations, whether it's drawn from our own lust, as James says, or whether Satan is bringing something into our path, that we are ready to fight this temptation. You can be assured that if the Spirit of God is at work, and he is, that Satan is at work as well. And Satan is here, and he is coming, and the Bible says in verse 1, he's the devil. The word devil means to accuse. And Satan, like he did to Job, he goes before God to accuse him before God. And the Bible says that the devil, Satan, is the accuser of the brethren. And the devil is very persistent. It tells us here that he came to Jesus three times. And you know, he just doesn't give up very easily, does he? And he's going to keep at you. He's going to keep at me. And he doesn't give up very easily there. But he doesn't have to win. He doesn't have to have the control over us. We can be filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit, and we can fight temptation and be victorious over it, even as Christ was. And so when he keeps coming at you, morning, noon, and night, and times in between, don't give in. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you, the Holy Spirit, than he that is in the world. Not only is Satan very persistent, but we see that he's very persuasive as well. Notice what he says here in verse 6. He starts quoting Scripture. Satan said to Jesus, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." Satan knows the Bible. We need to know it too. And he uses God's word against God's people when he can. He tries. He will stoop to any means, won't he, to cause you and to cause me to fall into sin. He twists the scriptures there. So not only does he accuse, he tries to confuse. And so he's trying to confuse Jesus by using the scriptures, and we have to be careful. That's why the Bible tells us as believers that we are to try the spirits to make sure that we are following God's word as it is in truth, and not be blown about by every wind of doctrine and be blown astray there. And a lot of cults today, they'll use the word of God. You will hear them quoting some scripture, and they'll have some error there, and they try to mix it in together, because if they came out and clearly told you their plan and purpose and what they believe, most people would be smart enough, at least I think there were, would be smart enough not to fall for it. Nowadays, I'm thinking common sense is not too common anymore, you know, because people fall for all kinds of things and believe just about anything. And Satan is real. He is persistent. He is persuasive. Remember when he came to Eve in the garden? Remember what he said to her? Hath God said? He started to put those doubts there. And then he said to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, ye shall not surely die. Don't believe that. You're not going to die and go to hell. A loving God wouldn't send anybody to hell. Have you heard that? It's a lie of the Satan. And God doesn't send people to hell. People send themselves to hell when they reject the love of God and the grace of God that he has provided there for us. You see already on the screen, not only do we see the Spirit of God at work and Satan at work, but the scriptures are at work. And what a wonderful time to look at this passage when we have Gideon Sunday and we see how the scriptures change lives. The Word of God is the only power that can transform a life. It doesn't matter if it's the life of a five-year-old or I was nine when I got saved. The Word of God transforms lives here. And so as we look at the scriptures at work, look at these three temptations. The first of all, in verse 3. And when the tempter came, Satan came to Jesus, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus, you're hungry. You need something to eat. You have the power to change these stones to bread. I know you do. And so for our outline, we'll call this protein, because really that's what the scriptures are. The scriptures are our spiritual protein, aren't they? And Jesus was hungry. He had gone 40 days. And Satan comes and tempts him there. And he was tempting Jesus for immediate satisfaction. That's what he wanted. Get satisfaction now. And we live in that kind of society, don't we? Where people want immediate satisfaction. Not right or wrong, but I want it now. Instant gratification, and that's what he was tempting Jesus here. Remember when Jesus was there in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well, and the disciples came to him, you know, and Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of my Father. And he was ministering there to the woman at the well. And so God's word for us is our nourishment, you know, and we ought not fast from the Word of God. I think I might need to do some fasting otherwise, not just for spiritual nourishment, but maybe for some physical loss of weight or whatever there. But God's Word is our protein. Aren't you glad to know that we get our nourishment from the Word of God? And we need to be in it every day, reading it and learning from God's Word. The second temptation, when the devil comes to him in verse 5, the devil takes him up to the holy city and he sets him on the pinnacle of the temple. He said to him in verse 6, if, there's his doubt again, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, there's the scripture again, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He was tempting Jesus to make a decision to jump, and God will protect you. And so we see the scriptures are at work for our protection as well here. God's word will protect us from bad choices. And so that's what Satan was tempting Jesus to do. You make this choice to jump. You trust God, you know. And faith is not just blind faith, as we say. Trusting God is wisdom from God's word there. And so here is Satan. He's tempting Jesus for instant gratification. He's tempting Jesus to just make this choice now, and God will take care of you. Will God take care of us? Yes, He will. Will God save us from the consequences of all of our bad decisions? No, He doesn't save us from the consequences of bad decisions, but He loves us and He cares for us, and everything He does is for our good. Satan tries to destroy. Well, another thing we see as the Scriptures are at work, the Scriptures are providing the protein, the nourishment, the protection, and also the praise. Verse 8, the devil takes him up to an exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. He said to him, "All these things will I give thee." Now, you can promise something, but these are not the devil's to give, you know, but he doesn't care. He'll use whatever means he can. He says, "If you will fall down and worship me." And so there is the praise. And so the Scriptures are our guide. How do we praise God? Satan was tempting Jesus here, and Jesus answered in verse 10, "Get thee hence, Satan." Adversary is what the word means, and he is our adversary. "For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God." How do you worship God? What does it mean to worship? You know, we can worship by reading the Scriptures, as we did earlier. We can worship by giving. We can worship by singing. But it tells us in this verse, at the end of it, it says, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And that's what worship is. Worship is not an idle state of mind where you're just sitting doing nothing, meditating. That can be worship, but serving God. God is a personal God, and we serve Him. And as we serve Him, in whatever way He gives us to serve, it's praising God. And that's what He wants. Satan wanted to tempt Jesus, and he said, "Jesus, you want to be praised? You want to get glory? Fall down and worship me, and you'll have the praise and the glory. You don't have to go to the cross. You can have the praise now." And Satan will tempt us with the same thing, that we can bypass the cross. And there is no glory, there is no crown without the cross. And Jesus endured the temptation, and we can endure the temptation as well, because we have the Word of God. It is written, and we can use it to fight the old devil there. David said in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." God didn't promise to keep us from the temptations, but He promised to deliver us through them. And God's Word is what helps us there. A couple of passages of Scripture here before we look at the rest of this chapter in Matthew. We see a couple of verses here. 1 John 2:16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." So all sins or temptations to sin will come under one of those three categories. We see that all the way back in the book of Genesis. And when Eve, the woman, saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree desired to make one wise. And so the temptations that Jesus had, the temptations that we have, fall under these three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is a temptation for us to get outside the will of God. The lust of the flesh is to do something outside the will of God. Turn these stones to bread. The lust of the eyes, to have something. I'll give you all these kingdoms outside the will of God. The pride of life, to be something outside the will of God. God has a will for you and for me. And oftentimes He will allow temptations and trials to come because He wants to make us into His image and mold us there. And the Word of God is what we use to defeat the devil when he comes to us. Now we go on to the rest of the chapter here, and it looks long, but it's not that much. But let me share with you his teaching now. It tells us in verse 12, "Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed in Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum." And verse 14, it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. And he goes on and he begins teaching the people. And we know that Jesus did not sin. And whether you believe he could have sinned or not, that's another whole theological discussion we'll not get into there. But we know that in our lives, if we're going to minister as Jesus does now, if we yield to temptation and give in to that, we will ruin the opportunity to teach others and minister. And so oftentimes when we're going through temptation, James says, endure those trials because God wants to use us. He has a will for us. And if we give in to do anything outside of His will, we'll miss out on opportunities to minister. And God wants to use us. Isn't it wonderful that God wants to use you and me to minister, even as Jesus was teaching here? He has a plan for us after temptation. Let's not miss it by yielding to temptation. And here's what he's teaching, beginning in verse 16. "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" We saw that last week when we were studying John the Baptist. He was preaching repentance. And as we look at the teaching of Jesus, he was teaching them about a change of mind. And this is what repentance is, that we begin to turn from darkness, verse 16, to light. We have a change of mind about who God is, about who Christ is. He is Lord of all. We have a change of mind about our own sinfulness, that we are wicked and sinful, and we are in need of a Savior. And there's no hope of eternal life outside of Christ. Repent. And a lot of people today want to leave repentance out of salvation. They want to believe. And as I said last week, and I'll not go back over all of that again, James says the devils believe, but they're not saved. They believe and they tremble because they haven't repented of their sins. There is no Christian who can just believe that Jesus is God and go on living the same way he's living and be saved, because the Word of God transforms lives. So not only did Jesus teach a change of mind, he also taught them in this passage of Scripture there is a change of direction as well. Notice in verse 19, he said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And in verse 20, it says, "And they straightway left their nets and followed him." And then in verse 22, uses the word immediately instead of straightway. They mean the same thing, right away, instantly. They left the ship and followed him. And so that's what repentance is. It is a change of mind that produces a change of direction. And Jesus says, "Do you want to be my disciple? You can't keep living in the sin you're living in. You can't keep doing what you're doing now. You have to have a change of mind. You want to be my disciple? Do you want to follow me? Then repent of your sins and leave what you're doing and follow me." And that's what they did. But not only a change of direction, but a change of condition. As we finish up the message this morning, notice all the kinds of sickness and the diseases that Jesus healed them of here. Diseases and torments, sickness and suffering with pain and those kinds of things. Demon possession, verse 24. Lunatic, the word lunatic actually is a Greek word that means to be moonstruck. It was believed in those days that epilepsy had more serious effects through certain lunar periods, and so they called it here lunatic, here to be moonstruck there. And so we look at all this control, paralyzed, palsy. There are people with these physical problems. And the Bible uses that as an analogy for us to help us understand that just as we have these physical problems of diseases and demonic problems and even mental problems and paralysis, all these things, Jesus says He is not only the great physician who can touch and heal physically, but we are spiritually sick. Jesus said, they that are whole need not a physician, but those that are sick. And all of us spiritually are sick and dying in sin without Christ. There's pain and suffering. And the whole issue, as we look at this and as we close with this, the whole issue is that of control. Satan wants to control your life. He wants to control my life. He wanted to control Jesus' life. He wanted to control His decisions and all that He was doing. And control is a big thing in politics, isn't it? Who's going to control the House? Who's going to control the Senate? Well, Satan wants to have control. And that's why the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Let that be what controls you. Not self-control, having inner strength to do it of ourselves, but it is the Spirit of God. The Bible has several paradoxes, and one of them is this. The way to victory is to surrender. When we surrender to Christ, then we have victory. We don't surrender to the temptations of Satan. We're defeated then, and we hurt ourselves. We hurt opportunities to minister. But whenever we surrender to the will of God, not to do anything outside the will of God, not to want anything outside the will of God, not to want to be anything outside the will of God, but we want Him to control us, then when the Holy Spirit has control, God can use us to minister for Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You that we can use it to defeat Satan when he comes to us. We know that there's not strength within us to battle Satan. He is much stronger than we are. But we thank You that You've given us the Holy Spirit within. You've given us the Word of God. We don't have to live defeated lives, that we can live victorious lives inside the will of God. And we pray that You would help each one of us this morning as we examine our own hearts, Lord, that if we are outside Your will in any areas, that we would surrender that to You and allow You to have total control of our lives and our decisions. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.